sometimes you want to talk about Bessie the cow. Like, hey, have you seen Bessie? Did she wander off again?
Yeah.
Right? We got to call Bessie home.
That's right.
And you don't want to be talking about
assets,
right? One of my assets wandered away.
Yeah.
You want to know which one. If you're talking to an animal rights activist, you're going to go in a different direction. And
sure.
The highest level might be conscious being.
Right.
Right? Which Bessie is also a conscious being, but you're not going to talk about conscious beings to an investor. And you're not going to talk about assets and wealth to PETA.
Welcome to Making Yourself Clear. I'm Patrick.
I'm Chris. Today we're going to talk about the hidden scale behind every conversation and every communication you're ever involved in and why it matters. It's called the ladder of abstraction.
Ooh, that sounds very abstract. I can't wait to get more specific.
Exactly, exactly. So what are we talking about? What is the ladder of abstraction? It is a model that refers to how specific and concrete or general and conceptual your word choices are, and why this matters, why being aware of it is worth doing, and how to tailor your use of language based on what your audience needs. So this applies in every imaginable context, whether it's giving a presentation, pitching an idea, explaining a concept, teaching. This is kind of in the background behind all communication, and it's useful to be aware of.
Yeah. Anytime you're having a conversation, you're deciding how you're going to talk to and with the person that you're talking to. Think of it this way. Have you ever been at a dinner conversation where someone is really getting into the nuances of their job and that's not work that you do and it's boring and you don't understand the purpose of the conversation and they're giving you metrics and they're giving you KPIs and they're giving you all kinds of jargon and you're just kind of sitting there like, just give me the broad strokes here.
Right.
So this is just about when to zoom in, when to zoom out.
That's a good way of looking at it, like a zoom lens on a camera. Mm. And sometimes you want to zoom right into the details, to like the microscopic view, and then other times you want to zoom all the way out to the 10,000 foot view.
Yeah. If we didn't have multiple camera angles in a movie, it would suck.
Right, exactly. And so you think of these levels of abstraction like rungs on a ladder. And at the very bottom, you've got the super concrete, tangible, grounded in material reality. And as you go up the ladder, you get a little more general, a little more conceptual, and a little bigger and broader.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the risks of being either too detailed or too abstract for a given context, how to tell which level you need, how to recognize when it's time to shift levels up and down.
And what you can do to make those shifts.
What you can do to make those shifts, how to recognize when you need to. And one of the big takeaways here is great communicators fluidly transition up and down between levels.
Yeah.
There's a concept in consulting they call dolphining. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about a problem, it's like if you think of the way a dolphin swims, kind of up and down, you zoom down into the details, but then you've got to come back up for air at the 10,000 foot view to put everything back in context before diving into the details again. So having that fluidity can be super useful.
Yeah. Sometimes when we're talking and we're giving lots of detail, we can get marred down in that. And then it's sort of like, well, why are we doing this? Right. So we zoom out to the big picture, like Chris just said. And then sometimes we're too conceptual and we're too focused on big picture stuff and we don't really get into the details of how we're going to do it. So,
yeah. Or what we're even talking about.
Yeah.
Sometimes big, broad, flowery language needs to be grounded in something concrete to give you a sense of what we're talking about. So, a little bit of history. The term, the ladder of abstraction, was coined by a linguist who also happened to be a U.S. senator.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting, actually. Linguist as a profession requires you to be super specific down in the concrete.
Yes.
Like all of these academics have their own language and terms of art. And, you know, if you have advanced education in a particular field, it gets very specific.
But then to be a senator, you've got to be much more broad.
And glittering generalities and flowery, emotive language that intentionally doesn't mean very much, but whips votes together.
Yeah. So really working both ends of
the
spectrum.
So this guy had it all.
Yeah.
So he came up with it. And one of the examples he used was
Bessie the cow.
Bessie the cow.
Yeah.
So he spoke about Bessie the cow on several different levels, right? At the very bottom level, there's Bessie, this specific cow, our old girl Bessie.
And that tells us a lot, right? We know a lot about Bessie. We know what kind of food Bessie likes. We
like, can if talk I about say, Bessie's habits.
We know all kinds of things about Bessie.
Right.
And then we can zoom out a little bit more. And instead of saying Bessie, then we can say cow.
Cow.
So cow gives us some information, but it doesn't tell us which specific cow we're talking about.
Right. It now lumps Bessie in with female cattle.
Right.
So it refers to the characteristics Bessie shares with female cattle, but it allows you to also make more general statements. So it loses some of the granularity that comes to mind when you talk about Bessie, but it's more useful if you're trying to make a general statement about cows in general.
Right. Yeah. So, and then if we want to zoom out even further than that, maybe we've got a product that's going to revolutionize anyone who deals with cattle, right? Mm. So cows are going to be the female of the species, but cattle, well, that mixes Bessie now in with bulls.
Bulls and heifers and
yeah,
all the other, everything else that's cattle.
Right. And then if we want to zoom out even further than that, we could say livestock.
Right. Right?
Because cows are part of that, but also we've got pigs, we've got chickens.
Goats. And then if you go up from that, you could say farm asset, which now includes tractors and
right.
combines
yeah.
and all the other equipment.
Wheat and corn and, yeah, all of that.
And the barn.
And then from farm asset, we could just say asset.
Right.
And then that's even more broad.
Now that includes your house and your stock portfolio yeah. and your car.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually we get to super abstract concepts, things like value, things like wealth. And so Bessie is in there.
Right.
But she's really lost in the sauce now. So,
well, and it depends on what you're talking about. So, for example, sometimes you want to talk about Bessie the cow. Like, hey, have you seen Bessie? Did she wander off again?
Yeah.
Right? We got to call Bessie home.
That's right.
And you don't want to be talking about
hey, did
assets,
you see my asset?
Right? One of my assets wandered away.
Yeah.
You want to know which one. But if you're making a pitch for investors, you want to talk more at the level of assets and ROI and wealth creation.
There you go.
So it really depends on who's your audience, what's the context. You'll talk about these things differently. And even with Bessie, as you go up the rung through Bessie, cow, cattle, if you're thinking in economic terms, then it starts to go into like the asset class and the wealth piece. But you could also, if you're talking to an animal rights activist, you're going to go in a different direction. And
sure.
the highest level might be conscious being.
Right.
Right? Which Bessie is also a conscious being, but you're not going to talk about conscious beings to an investor. And you're not going to talk about assets and wealth to PETA.
Yeah, they probably
right?
want to have that kind of conversation.
I mean, you're gonna ruffle some feathers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you can go in different directions too. If you're talking to a biologist, you might be at the highest level. It's organism, right? So you can be a member of all sorts of different classes. From the concrete, you can abstract in different directions
for sure. And so what the ladder of abstraction is going to do for us is going to give us a direction as to how general should I be or how specific should I be with whichever group of people I'm dealing with so that we can communicate our ideas clearly and so that people don't walk away confused and just say, well, what was the purpose of that conversation? Why were we talking about assets when his cow was in the middle of the field lost?
Right, exactly. So your choice of level influences how clear you are and how people understand you and has a lot to say about how well your message lands. So there's no universally right or wrong level of abstraction. It's about choosing the right altitude for your message.
That's a good way to think about it.
And then also being able to move up and down.
Dolphining.
That dolphining piece, which we'll talk about a bit more. So there's also a concept called dead leveling, which is when you just get stuck at one level and only speak at the same level.
Definitely had some people who have done that to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who have just talked to me on a granular level. I'm lost in the weeds. Like, I don't understand the purpose of this conversation anymore. A lot of times I'll find with people who are talking about their jobs will tell me about just very nuanced details that really don't matter in the broad sort of spectrum of the conversation.
Yeah. And that's a good example. So you probably have people in your life who are fun to talk to and you'd say are good conversationalists, even if they're talking about their work. And then other people who just bore you with way too much minutia that only they are interested in.
Think of it this way. Someone comes in and says, you know, I had a rough day at work today. One of my coworkers came in and just dumped a pile of work on my desk, and then one of my other coworkers knocked their coffee on top of it, and then I had to spend the rest of the day printing everything out, and I didn't actually get any work done. That's a fairly broad. But then if I were to say, yeah, so John came in today, and you know John, he came in, he's got this stack of paper for me, and each paper has, I mean, already I've lost you.
Right. It's too much detail, way too much detail. So in the example you just gave, there's a level at which you can talk about the details of your daily experience that'll connect with others and that they can relate to.
Yeah.
And you want to find like the level of commonality. And that level of commonality is probably not deep down in the TPS reports.
No.
But
well, if I say coworker, most people can, you know, most people have a coworker, or they can at least conceptualize that. If I say John, not everyone has a John.
Right.
And so if I'm telling you a specific person or a specific thing, it gets down on that granular nuance level, which can be frustrating. And then there's the opposite problem. If I'm being too abstract or too foggy, then
yeah,
you also don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
So let's give some concrete examples. You know, if you're in a workplace, something too abstract might be a directive from leadership saying we need to be more innovative, or we're going to prioritize excellence. Fantastic.
Synergy.
That just looks great on a mouse pad and a motivational poster. But what do I do tomorrow when I come into work to be more innovative or to prioritize excellence? What does that actually mean?
Right.
Or you know, let's elevate the customer experience. Okay, well, what does that mean? Does that mean shorter wait times? Does it mean friendlier staff? Does it mean more personalized service? Does it mean cleaner bathrooms?
Right. Yeah. Customer experience. There's a lot of different levels there. So we still need to zoom in a little bit, right?
Right.
And then the other thing too specific, we already talked about that a little bit, but we need to change the footer margin by 0.5 inches and update the alt text on slide 14.
Okay.
Might be helpful if you're formatting slides, but if the team is asking, why are we doing this presentation to begin with? Then that doesn't really answer the question. You're talking about details and everyone is just kind of left scratching their head as to, well, I don't understand the purpose of the presentation.
Right, exactly. So the trick is great communicators know how to climb up and down the ladder, how and when, and they do it mindfully. So some tips, right? You want to go down the ladder towards the more concrete when people are needing clarity, instructions, examples. Some clues that you need to go down the ladder might be when someone asks, what do you mean by that? Or can you give an example?
Right.
Or if they just stare at you blankly and you can tell
yeah,
that they have no idea what you're talking about, your language might be too abstract.
They're just livestock in the headlights.
Yeah, exactly. Assets in the headlights.
Assets in the headlights.
Wealth in the headlights. So you want to drill down and get more concrete in those scenarios. So someone says, let's improve our digital presence. Blink, blink, and then crickets. Okay, how about let's post one piece of content per day on LinkedIn? Ah, that I can do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's much more specific, and that makes a whole lot more sense. The other side of that is going up the ladder. So we might want to become more abstract instead of being super nuanced. So we're going to go up the ladder when people need vision, when people need to understand purpose, when people need to be aligned on things, right? Mm-hmm. So this is where we're zooming out. Where do I need to pan out? So I need to pan out when people are overwhelmed by detail. Or if I'm explaining something and nobody remembers why we're doing this, right? Like we talked about with our presentation.
Right.
And the 0.5 font.
Like, what's the point of all this detail?
Yeah.
Why are we talking about this? Where do I put this in my brain? What category does this barrage of detail you're throwing at me go into?
Yeah. So again, you might see people just sort of glaze over because of the amount of detail that you're giving, right? Rather than the deer in headlights look, this is just oh my God, when is he going to stop talking? Or when are they going to stop talking about whatever it is? For example, engineers saying things like, well, we need to add a feature to sync with Google Calendar using two-way API integration. Okay, great. That's very clear. But if I'm not an engineer, I don't care. How is this helping a non-engineer figure it out, right? But for an exec, we might say something like, we want to give users more control over their schedules.
Right.
Now we've zoomed out and we're speaking at an appropriate level for our audience.
Yeah. So in this sense, the abstract can explain why the specific matters.
Mm-hmm.
And the example you just gave is a great one because I deal with a lot of clients who are highly technical and who struggle to calibrate their message when presenting to senior leadership. So where they live is in the details of writing code and functional specs, and they live in the details of building stuff.
That's really funny because the people that I deal with are commonly on the other end of the spectrum who have great big ideas, but they're not nuanced enough in terms of getting down to, well, here are the steps that I need to take.
Right, exactly. And so you need both, and it really matters what the purpose of the conversation is and who the audience is.
Yeah.
So I'll often coach highly technical people on how to give a presentation to different levels of the organization. And it starts with, what do those people care about? What is of interest to them? And you tailor the message so as to be useful to your audience. So you're not going to talk to a senior leadership team about individual lines of code as part of a 10 million line of code mega application.
Yeah.
They don't care about that. They care about business value. They care about perhaps growing the user base or capturing market share or the bottom line. Ultimately, they speak in terms of dollars or market penetration or higher level figures that are usually measured in dollars, hours, headcount, percentages,
right?
Those sorts of things, ROI. Whereas engineers aren't thinking about those things. They're thinking about data structures and variables and development environments and frameworks.
So when do I need to zoom in and when do I need to zoom out, right? There's that that cliche in Mission Impossible where anytime there's a bomb that's going to go off, they zoom in on the counter and it's the clock ticking down every so often. And then they zoom out and we see the big action sequences. And then we zoom in a little bit and we see Tom Cruise's character, you know, maybe he's in the middle of a fight or he's trying to disarm the bomb. And then we zoom in again and we see that clock is ticking down a little bit more. And so you're doing the same thing with your conversation. Sometimes you're peeling back and you're giving people a broad idea because Mission Impossible would suck if it was just a clock for 2 hours.
Right. Or if it was all at that level of camera zoom, it'd be okay, a clock, and now you can see Tom Cruise's foot, but you can't tell what's going on in the bigger scene. And yeah, it would also suck if it was just a Google Earth level satellite photo where you can't see much of anything, and then poof, there's a little explosion, right, and that's your climax and you roll credits.
Yeah.
So the goal here is agility and fluidity. And there's a few principles you can apply, right? So
match the level of your listeners' needs would be one that I would put forth. Do they need to understand the bigger picture? If so, zoom out.
Right.
Do they need to take a specific action? If so, zoom in.
That's a really good distinction, right? And I think it's useful to have a bit of both, but which do you lean on more heavily? So
yeah,
when I was explaining anything to, say, a team of engineers or a deployment team in my former career, I would start with the big picture to give them some context. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. Here's the setting we're walking into. Here are some of the characters. That's high level. Now, that's useful for them to understand context, but it doesn't help them actually guide their choices about specific actions to take. So I'd have to just paint a big picture quickly and then zoom into the details. You're going to be assigned to this polling location on election day.
Right.
Your job is to service equipment as required. And here's the protocol for swapping out a machine. Now I'm at the action level. So actions are lower down on the rung. Context is higher up.
Right. The next principle that we want to look out for is considering time and context. In the early stages, when we're just kind of figuring out the purpose of the thing, then we want to be more zoomed out and we want to explore, why are we doing this? What is important about this? What are our larger goals? And then when we're trying to execute, like you just said, we're going to zoom in and we're going to start trying to figure out who's accountable for what specific tasks. For example, if a client says, I want to be more impactful, well, that's too abstract. I don't know what that means. So what would that look like in your next meeting, right? And now we're starting to dig into something that's more actionable.
Well, this is an interesting example. In my coaching work, a conversation might start that way or an engagement might start that way. I want to be more impactful. And I'll say, okay, great. I will actually go in each direction in sequence. I might start with saying, okay, why? What does that mean to you? Why is being more impactful important? To try to get at what's motivating them. What is the broader meaning of having impact?
Yeah.
Now I understand why. And then I'll zoom in. Okay, well, what would that look like?
Right.
And we get more concrete and more specific about it.
If you're not sure, just start somewhere in the middle. So not too specific, not too broad. Like a mid-level idea to sort of test things. And then if people look confused, you need to get more specific. And if people glaze over because they're bogged down in detail, then you need to start to zoom out a little bit and go a little bit bigger picture. And you can always adjust, right? It's pretty easy to tell once you can pick up on those social cues. And if you can't pick up on those social cues, some of us are better at intuing how people are feeling. You can always ask. There's no shame in the game in asking people,
right?
How is this landing? Am I being too specific? Is this too nuanced? Where are we at right here?
Yeah. And I think we kind of intuitively have done this in our conversations in prior episodes. We'll outline a concept and talk about it kind of at the conceptual level. Mm-hmm. And then we'll give an example,
right,
which is concrete and specific. And a lot of people will do this habitually. You'll outline a concept and then you give an example. And the reason for that is you want to cover it from different levels of abstraction.
Yeah.
If you're only talking about the example, then it doesn't generalize. You want it to be general, but if you only talk at the general level, it's harder to wrap your hands around.
This episode right here, if we had just come in and said, there are levels to the kind of conversation that you're going to have. There are levels to details. You can be too abstract and you can be too detailed. And we just parked it right there.
We haven't said much.
We haven't said very much. And people are kind of left scratching their heads.
Well, that's the point of the Bessie example.
Yeah.
The whole Bessie example is a concrete example of this broader context of the ladder of abstraction. Mm-hmm. So years ago, I was in a relationship and my girlfriend at the time was having a conversation with someone else and they were gossiping about one of my friends. They were talking about one of my friends and some details of his life. Mm-hmm. And I had asked them not to. I said, hey, like, I prefer if you didn't gossip about my friend. And my girlfriend at the time said something like, there can be this dynamic that unfolds between men and women where men accuse women of gossiping. And like, she wanted to talk about gender politics,
right?
Which took it way more abstract. Yeah. Now it's this broad societal gender dynamics issue. And I said, yeah, that may be true. But right now I'm asking you to stop talking about Bob. That's like, can we keep it real? Can we keep it in the room?
Yeah. 'Cause
it starts to float away into these, and not, that's not to say that there isn't a valid time and place to talk about gender dynamics in society.
But this wasn't that specific.
But it was slippery because by getting more abstract away from the concrete, it was a way of just avoiding what's happening right here in this room.
Right. Yeah. There was a specific request. There was specific language used. And if we start to zoom out, then we're having a totally different conversation.
I didn't want to have an academic discussion about gender dynamics in Western society. I wanted you to stop talking about Bob.
Yeah.
And this is an example of where there's a mismatch in the level of abstraction and why it can be frustrating, because different levels of abstraction are useful for different purposes. And my purpose was I wanted to end a conversation about Bob, and where she kind of instinctively went, and I don't think she was doing it to dodge the question. It was just one of the lenses that she saw the world through.
Sure.
Was this idea of gender dynamics, and it was kind of everywhere. And instantly her mind went to apply that lens. And I found it frustrating because it was a completely different purpose from what I was trying to get done in that moment.
Right. Yeah. It zoomed the conversation out to a point where, like we said with Bessie, right?
Mm-hmm.
You went from cows or Bessie specifically to assets.
Asset management,
yeah.
And like retirement planning or something. The other thing that can happen is while these different levels of abstraction are each necessary and useful, you need to be careful with it because when you take something that's concrete and specific and speak about it in the language that's more abstract, say two or three levels higher,
yeah.
What can happen is some of the associations of the high level concept can now creep in and become associated with the specific example, and it may or may not apply.
Right.
Right. So let's say you are caught speeding. And there's probably a speed limit beyond which it's criminal.
Right.
Right. So you were caught driving 150 kilometers an hour and it's like criminal reckless driving. I'm making that up. Maybe it's a thing. So great. Now,
well, what we call stunt driving here.
Stunt driving. Sure. Stunt driving. So that's a crime, let's say. Now, if moving forward, you start referring to me as a criminal, that may be true, but people are going to draw all kinds of other inferences associated with the word criminal,
yeah,
that maybe aren't applicable. So
yeah,
the broader the category, the more abstract, the more other associations can get lumped in and then associated,
sure,
with things.
Yeah, if I was to say, oh, my friend Chris here is a criminal and has a couple of outstanding warrants, versus if I were to say something like, oh, do you guys see Dale Earnhardt got a ticket again?
Right.
That, you know, if people know who Dale Earnhardt is.
Right. He's a race driver.
Yeah. So.
So this is something to be mindful of. When you speak about something in the abstract, a lot of extra meaning can get smuggled in, because the bigger the concept, the more it could mean,
yeah,
but the less it does mean in the specific. So just something to be aware of.
I think that's a really good point. Yeah. And again, this is just trying to gauge where I am on that ladder of abstraction. Where do I need to go so that we don't smuggle in extra meaning? And sometimes you might be doing it unbeknownst to you.
Mm-hmm.
So again, just good to check in with yourself. And am I speaking to my audience in a way that is going to make sense, or am I leaving too many details out?
Right. Yeah. And like if someone says, oh, such and such person, I find them to be unprofessional. Does that mean that they're late for meetings, or does it mean that they commit wide scale fraud?
Right.
Both are unprofessional.
Sure. Yeah.
So one of the most common things we talked about was dead level abstraction. So this is a trap that Hayakawa, the originator of this concept, coined. And this is the thing about when someone talks at only one level, either abstract or concrete, pick a level.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians are a good example, where often they'll speak almost exclusively in these very broad, glittering, general
vagueness.
We're fighting for freedom and rights and democracy and all of these big lofty concepts, but it might mean very different things to different people.
For sure. Yeah.
And often they're intentionally staying abstract in order to avoid being pinned down, because accountability doesn't live in the abstract.
Yeah. I found that during the last election that we had, I had some friends who, you know, we're on a different side of the political spectrum and saying like, oh, well, this person is to me a real life Bond villain. It's like, okay, but what does that mean? Well, they're a bad person. Okay, but what about their policies or like, and they couldn't give me any sort of specifics. It was just this, I don't like the wing of the plane that I think that they're sitting closest to.
Right. Yeah, this person's a radical lefty.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a category. What do you mean by that?
Right.
Like, what are we talking about?
And then it was just kind of, well,
I don't know.
I don't know.
Right. The big broad categories are often where the emotion kind of lives. The concepts like justice and right and wrong and left versus right or freedom of speech or all of these things, people can get very emotive about them.
For sure.
And it can be useful to ground it. Like, okay, what are we actually talking about?
Yeah.
And when you drill down into the details, it's often but not always the case that the emotions will settle down.
Yeah, because now we're actually talking about substance. So being grounded is going to be a crucial part here.
Yeah.
So if we're stuck at one level and our message is lacking meaning or actionability, if we're dead leveling, if we are stuck at too high a concept, or if we're stuck at just that base level, too many details, what can we do to try and move things along? How can we move up or down that ladder? So if we're too abstract, we're going to sound vague. If we're too specific, depending on our audience, it's just not going to be relevant to them.
Or interesting.
And to be honest, regardless of who you're talking about, if you're sticking to one level, at a certain point, you're just going to lose people altogether anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to be a better communicator, you want to be agile. You want the agility, like you said, dolphining, right? Moving between those different levels with just fluidity. So one thing that you can do, take a common phrase that you use, like we need better communication, and rephrase it at a couple of different levels. So you already got better communication. That's super vague. A little clearer, we need to respond to emails faster. Okay, great. But what's faster? Is that a month? Is that 2 weeks? Is that 24 hours, right? So replying within 2 hours during business hours, that's much more concrete. And then if we wanted to be super specific, set your Slack to available and make sure that you're checking your messages hourly and replying within 10 minutes of having checked your messages.
Right. There's a great video series, which you can catch on YouTube. I think it's Vox, and it's Expert Explains Such and Such Concept at 5 different levels.
Right.
And so they'll have renowned experts in physics. They had astronauts on there. They've had all kinds of scientists, different medical professionals. And they'll ask them to talk for a few minutes about their area of expertise at 5 different levels of sophistication. And they start with, how would you explain general relativity to a 5-year-old?
Right.
And then they will. And they'll speak for a couple of minutes in a way that, and there's an actual 5-year-old on camera with them. And the 5-year-old comes away with some understanding of the topic that's appropriate for their level.
That's great.
And then they'll say, okay, now explain it to a high school student. And they'll talk about the same topic using very different language from how they spoke to the five-year-old, but still appropriate to the high school student's level, then they'll say, okay, how about a college undergrad?
Right.
Okay, great. Now, how about a PhD student? Mm-hmm. And then now talk to us at the level of the leaders in the field. And you get it all the way from five-year-old up to the kind of thing that a small handful of people in the world can understand. And the point is, it's a brilliant illustration of how you can talk about the same concept. In this case, it's at different levels of sophistication, but it's kind of like inverting the abstraction pyramid in a certain sense, because when you're talking to a five-year-old, you're going to have to use much simpler, general, broader strokes terms. And then as they go up in technical sophistication,
you come down.
They're getting much more
specific and granular
in the language.
Right. So a great exercise to do is if you have, you know, a concept or something that you need to get out there, try it at those different levels. Say it out loud to yourself and see what lands the best or what you think is going to land the best. And if things are not working, if people are disengaging, then switch gears and go to a different level.
Try switching it up.
Yeah.
And it's a good exercise. It's something that invariably in your professional career, you're going to have to do at different levels. Like when you're writing a technical spec for engineers, it's going to be much more specific than when you're talking about the same thing at an executive meeting. And it can be a useful practice to just practice phrasing things at different levels of abstraction and be aware that if your communication is missing the mark for some reason, this might be why. And practice shifting gears up or down the ladder and see if it helps.
One of the things that you can do in order to get yourself up and down the ladder, if you're curious as to how to move up and down, two questions, how and why.
Mm.
And we can use those to move more effectively.
Right. How takes you down the ladder? Why takes you further up?
Right. So if you're super detailed, why are we doing this? And that's going to start moving you up to the more general. And like Chris just said, if you're big concept here, how is going to start moving you down the ladder to an appropriate level, again, for the audience that you're speaking to.
As always, we hope this was useful. Thanks for tuning in.